Sabakate, ni garve,
ni garve, shibatanga.
Tenjo pujo.
As before, please give rise to the precious attitude of bodhicitta, as is explained in the Great Vehicle, the Mahayana, and listen.
Talam simji yabam levi yabam Unhovai sheba la som Sandir chundu chetar lakpari sheba Sai yipin ni che Pama chepari sheba tang som
Now to move on to the fourth mind generation or the fourth chapter. Mind generation refers to the generation of the mind of bodhicitta. This is called the radiant. Corresponds to the fourth bodhisattva ground or bhumi. And the outline has three parts. The first one explains how it is that on this ground it is the transcendent perfection of diligence that becomes that comes to the fore. The second part looks at the etymology of the name for this ground. Why is it called radiant? And finally, there is an explanation of what specifically is abandoned on this ground.
Tele tambo san de tsundu la sur te bane yin de ma de tsundu jin ro xin so na lo de tsun ni ji jo tsundu kang dum bar bar chur pa ye sa de ge ba wo ne tho wo xi sa ma sa.
The first of these, explaining how it is that diligence, the practice of diligence, becomes superior here, is looked at in the first verse, which reads, "All good qualities follow after diligence. It is the cause of both the accumulations of merit and wisdom. The ground where diligence blazes is the fourth, the radiant." Commentary reads that all good qualities, without exception, these include both the good qualities of attaining birth as a human being or as a deity in one of the higher realms, in other words, attaining what is called the excellent support of either a human body or the body of a god. So all of those good qualities, along with what are called the definitely excellent qualities, and these refer to the qualities of enlightenment, the enlightenment of the hearers and the solitary sages of the foundational vehicle, and then also the enlightenment of the Buddhas that comes from practicing the Mahayana, the greater vehicle. So all these good qualities, without exception, follow after diligence. What that means is if there is diligence, then they will come. They'll follow. But if there's no diligence, then they won't come. So the only one that they follow is diligence. This diligence, moreover, is the cause of both of the two accumulations. The first is the accumulation of merit. It is also called the accumulation where there is a focus, there is some type of reference point. And the second is the accumulation of, you could say, primordial wisdom or prajna. This is the type of accumulation where there is no reference point. The cause of both of these is diligence. And the ground, the noble ground where these, where this diligence becomes superior, the diligence that completely eliminates its opposite of laziness, The ground where this type of diligence becomes superior is the fourth. It is called the radiant. Lasso.
Jitang junjuk le zongkang ge le zhoba bo so ma re. Junjuk ju ngo wo te ge ba la zhoba. Am ge ba la me ba che ba je yo ba la junjuk se re. Se da chu sang go som la jan na tam be chu te ba sam ba go ba la.
Generally, if we ask what is the definition of diligence, it is explained in the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by Shantideva that diligence means to delight in virtue, to delight in virtuous activity. And if we connect that with the specific focus of Dharma practice, then it is to delight in listening to, reflecting on, and meditating on the teachings of the genuine Dharma.
Nyeba sai ngi tse kyeba ne, tenne dirhik se la dzogba ye, sancho so la gomba le chibe, nama sangha, huwe, lan jong shin chi samasot.
Second is a look at the etymology of this, of the word. Why is it called the radiant, this ground? And so this is the first three lines of the second verse. Here, for the heirs of the Sugatas, dawns an appearance even greater than the copper light. It arises from a greater cultivation of the branches of perfect enlightenment.
Sa tene, sa yiba tene, devari shikpa thokji se tela, dzogpa ye sancho, sancho soji chu sumcha tsabdun, lakpa rabdo gomba le, jipi yehi je nama, sa sumpa ne kapje, sangje uwe lakpa yongshin.
Commentary reads, on this ground, for the heart, say the heart son or daughter of the Sugatas, the ones gone to bliss, for them or even within them, you could say, there is a superior dawning of the 37 branches of perfect enlightenment. So these are 37 different factors that bodhisattvas cultivate on the path, and all of these 37 become even greater than before, right? And this comes from their meditation. Specifically, the light, the appearance of the primordial awareness that arises from their meditation. And this light, or this appearance of this primordial awareness here, is even greater, even brighter than the copper-colored light, which was the metaphor for how the light was the sunrise on the third ground. That was what it was like. So here it's even brighter. The sun is rising, becoming more bright. And so that's why this ground is, because there is this wonderful light, this ground is called the radiant.
Tanga and
Jimas.
Kare.
Yen maksum jisatam.
Kare.
Yen jas.
Temba nyevan yaba ye.
Nasa.
Yang da parpo ma ye. Nizamdhur je kangba ye. Wangbong Tōpngā, sāngchū jīyī nā dōyī, pāpā lāngyī nā jē.
These 37 branches of enlightenment, perfect enlightenment, are discussed in detail in the Jewel Ornament of Liberation, but briefly, they are the four types of close mindfulness, the four types of complete abandonment, the four miraculous powers, the five powers, the five strengths, the seven branches of enlightenment, and the eight branches of the path of the Noble One.
Sanju Soji Chu Sumju Tsabde. Lāpā rābdhū gōmbā lē jībī yīshī jī nāwā sāt sūmbī nēkāp sāṅgā wūvē lākpā rā jōngshīn tūpē nā wūtō tēn dēvā jō tāsawā
jō tāsawā
āyā āyā tēn tāwā tā pāmbē chēpār nē sūmbā pāmbē chēpār nē rāṅdhū tāvā tāndir yōngshī sē jīsāvā sōngtē Rang do tawa, pamba de kare. Rang do tawa, te da do tawa, dakta tawa tang deve. Rancher and zimba, da rancha topper yoper and zimba. Zimba so kanzag da rakpatang. Chuji da so, chuji danzin so sepa. Te panzer chulpe da ni je savun jo bawa.
And then the third part of the outline of this chapter talks about what is abandoned. And so this is the last line of the second verse. Everything connected with the view of a self is completely exhausted. And the commentary reads that all of the subtleties connected with view of a self, for example, the view that oneself is an independent entity, an independent of people and things, and so forth. All of these very subtle types of views, the coarse types of clinging to self and clinging to the self of entities, so not only the self of individuals but also the self of entities, all of these are completely exhausted, meaning that the seeds of the view of the two types of self that are the specific things to be abandoned on this particular ground are wiped out.
Not so? Levi je meng ne oma la jok pa le sem je pa. Jeba je pa wo da levi je ta.
And the name of this chapter is the fourth mind generation of the fourth ultimate mind generation from the text called the Madhyamika Avatara, the entrance to the middle way. So we finished one chapter. Now we should recite this together.
Three times.
All good qualities follow after diligence. It is the cause of both the accumulations of merit and wisdom, the ground where diligence blazes is the fourth, the radiant. Here for the heirs of the Sugatas dawns an appearance even greater than the copper light. It arises from a greater cultivation of the branches of perfect enlightenment. Everything connected with the view of a self is completely exhausted. All good qualities follow after diligence. It is the cause of both the accumulations of merit and wisdom. The ground where diligence blazes is the fourth, the radiant. Here for the heirs of the Sugatas dawns an appearance even greater than the copper light. It arises from a greater cultivation of the branches of perfect enlightenment. Everything connected with the view of a self is completely exhausted. All good qualities follow after diligence. It is the cause of both the accumulations of merit and wisdom. The ground where diligence blazes is the fourth, the radiant. Here for the heirs of the Sugatas dawns an appearance even greater than the copper light. It arises from a greater cultivation of the branches of perfect enlightenment. Everything connected with the view of a self is completely exhausted.
Da sanga ba jang ka ba che ba la che yi sa yin ni che dan che ji sa yin di ni le dang bo che yi sa yin ni che ne da ni che de de nam ko ji jang jang ge sa la pa ba ne ma yin che sa ba.
And we move on to the fifth mind generation. The name of this ground is called difficult to overcome. And in the outline, there are two parts. One is a look at the etymology of the ground's name, and second, a look at the ground's characteristics. So the first one, looking at the etymology of the name, is the first two lines, and it says, the great beings on the ground that is difficult to overcome cannot be defeated even by all the Maras.
Sangaba. Sanga balane besan sin dani chemote sansin sanga ba ngabagati doinam kuinje doinam tamje jichang janga satele tele nebetse sansin te pambar neba mayino jinsin karre sena doitam che rangin je madro par to doi rangin je madro pe ne lok to bese na pambar ne ma ठीक सो
ठीक सो ठीक Commentary reads that the great being, the Bodhisattva, on this fifth ground cannot be defeated even by all the Maras. On this ground that is difficult to overcome. So that's the reason for the name. The Bodhisattva on this ground is difficult to overcome, meaning that even all the Maras cannot defeat them, even all the Maras put together. And the reason why is that the Bodhisattva realizes that the Maras do not really exist, have no inherent existence at all.
There
is a song where the Lord of Yogis, Milarepa, sang apparition of male and female demons and ghouls. For as long as your guise has not been seen through are Maras, obstacle makers who nothing but trouble spell. When your guise is seen through, obstructors are Dharmapalas, Dharma protectors. A hotbed of cities of such a variety, in the end, in fact, there are neither gods nor goblins. Let concepts go as far as they go and no more. This is as far as they go and no more, he said. This is showing us the three stages of the nature of these Maras, or evil spirits. When their true nature is not realized, then demons and ghouls are, in fact, obstructing forces. But that's only when their nature is not realized. When their nature is realized, then they turn into Dharma protectors, when it's realized that they have no inherent existence. And in terms of their ultimate nature, they transcend both existence and
non-existence.
And second comes the explanation of this ground's good qualities, and it's the third and fourth lines of the verse. Their samadhi becomes superior. Their samadhi becomes superior, and their excellent minds become incredibly skilled in subtle realization of the nature of the truths.
Sandir something je parsing chi la hen dela tin ne lord zang bo te phak pe min jin je lord zang bo jin ti dong a je den ba kun jong je den ba go bu den ba la je den ba de ba yam yang na kun jo dang ten dang je ra yin chin de tha yi mo to ba la
The The commentary reads that on this ground, what comes to the fore, what becomes particularly superior, is the transcendent perfection of samadhi, or meditative concentration. And based on that, because that happens, then these ones whose minds are so excellent, this is the name for the bodhisattva, they become incredibly skilled at a very subtle realization of, you could say, the four truths, the truth of suffering, the origin of suffering, of cessation, and of the path, or the two truths, relative and ultimate. Either way is the same. They become incredibly skilled at a realization of that. And the name of this chapter is the fifth ultimate mind generation from the text called The Entrance to the Middle Way. So here we have some very short chapters we can see describing the different bhumis and the paramitas that go along with them. And the reason for that is that this is not a text describing the nature and the qualities so much of these paramitas as it is a text describing which paramitas come at which specific points in time. And so the texts that describe the paramitas more in detail are texts like the Ornament of Mahayana Sutras, the Mahayana Sutra Lankara, and also the Dakpotargyan, the Jewel Ornament of Liberation. So now let's recite this verse from the fifth chapter three times. The great beings on the ground that is difficult to overcome cannot be defeated even by all the maras. Their samadhi becomes superior and their excellent minds become incredibly skilled in subtle realization of the nature of the truth. The great beings on the ground that is difficult to overcome cannot be defeated even by all the maras. Their samadhi becomes superior and their excellent minds become incredibly skilled. Subtle realization of the nature of the truth. The great beings on the ground that is difficult to overcome cannot be defeated even by all the maras. Their samadhi becomes superior and their excellent minds become incredibly skilled in subtle realization of the nature of the truths. Now we'll sing the authentic portrait of the middle way. From the standpoint of the truth that's ultimate, besides no blocks there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no signs, and no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate inanimate, the three realms, unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not coexist. There is no karmic act, no maturation, so even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way things are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from, since fruition without cause impossible? So the standpoint of the truth that's relative, it's auras will nirvana past all greed. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching, both what exists appearing to be things, and the non-existence pure being emptiness, are essentially inseparable one taste, and therefore there is neither self-awareness nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see pure being. And out of this compassion just emerges retention powers, fearlessness and awe, the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Now, are there any questions? So the question is, why? What is the reason for the stages of the paramitas? Why does generosity come first, so forth? Parul tu chinbe chugi rimba rimbe gyum san karade perna jinba tambo dene tsultrin dene zopa la sopa di tambo jinba nipa tsultrin la sopa gi gyum san karade
di gyum san te rakpa rakpa Nyam so lang le lava, so when a song day, kava tava, to kava, so this is
reason is that the ones that are more coarse that are easier to practice come first, come preceding, and then the ones that are more subtle and more difficult to realize follow. So as, for example, was explained earlier, the three practices of generosity and discipline and patience are able to be practiced easily by bodhisattvas living in as householders. So those three come first for that reason.
Dene pena chempamba gelong dang gelong manda wo yina chempamba re.
Lasa.
Chempang jose thamje pamba se na. Lasa. Te jima zo ma re.
Lasa.
Jima tanya yo ma.
Lasa. Lasa.
Jima zo. Lasa. Jima tanya ma.
Lasa. On the other hand, for those monks and nuns who have left the house, then for them, they left all of their worldly possessions behind, so they don't really have much to practice generosity with. They have nothing to give. So for them, practice of generosity is not the foremost thing. But they do need to meditate, and they do need diligence, and they do need wisdom. And then once you perfect prajna or wisdom at the sixth bhumi, then what comes after that are skillful means, and then the powers and the aspiration, perfection of aspiration prayers, and aspiration prayers come first, and then the powers, and then finally primordial awareness is at the 10th bhumi. So these are the source of the bodhisattva's great qualities growing even greater and greater. So it's like that.
Yeah.
So is there a relationship between the 10 bodhisattva levels and the 4 stages of Mahamudra? Then Sachu Tang Pakpe Sachu Tang Chakchen Gi Naljor Shi La Drawa Yadavas.
The Naljor Yate Pape Sakinja Lola Pape Sachute, then Naljor Yatan Jarte Ekipayam.
Yes, there is a way, according to the Mahamudra tradition, that the 10 bodhisattva bhumis can be explained in connection with the 4 yogas of Mahamudra. There are some different ways that the 10 bhumis are explained in connection with the 4 yogas of Mahamudra, and these different explanations are explained clearly in the text called the Ngeden Gyamsa.
Mada Sadhana Jar. gomi chung den den bo ni dene dakpa sa so na ja gomi chen bo san je ji sa la ja cha chik den da wo re
So one way of looking at these two different levels of stages side by side would be to say that the first yoga, which is one-pointedness, that corresponds to the first two paths of the Mahayana, which are the paths of accumulation and junction. And then the second yoga, which is simplicity, or the freedom from all conceptual fabrications, that corresponds to the first sort of the what's called the path of seeing, which is when you enter the path of seeing, you become a bodhisattva, you become a noble bodhisattva. So that's like the first entry point of the first bodhisattva ground or bhumi. Then one taste, the third yoga of Mahamudra, corresponds to what are called the seven impure grounds, which are the first seven bhumis. And then in the fourth, in each of these yogas, there are three stages, the small, the middle, and the great. And so in the fourth one, it's divided. The fourth yoga is non-meditation, and the small and the middle correspond to the three pure bodhisattva grounds, which are the 8th, 9th, and 10th, and then the great stage of non-meditation is the stage of Buddhahood.
Lame, yiki me, topa me, mato payame, lame, lame payame, yiki me payame, topa me, mato payame, do somebody. Nelo pantop lendeba, doza dozy lendebus and a nelo lucia memory. This and a damber, damber triple condria memory.
This way of connecting these different explanations of the levels of realization is only an explanation from the perspective of just names and labels, you know, connecting one label with another. Really, there are no connections at all. And the reason why there are no connections at all is that the paths and the levels don't exist. So there can't be any real connection. This is explained in the Heart Sutra, where it is said, there is no path, there is no wisdom, there is no attainment, there is no non-attainment. So there is no path, there is no absence of a path. There is no wisdom, there is no absence of wisdom. There is no attainment, there is no non-attainment. And therefore, there can really be no connections because there's nothing real to connect up with.
Deyin de hiram nyang bole marik pa me marik pa se pa me ga che me ga che se pa pa do ya me do sum ba marik pa ngo ma do pa se na se pa ya ma do pa re Deyin de ga ge pa de che ba ma do pa se na de ne se pa ya ma do pa re
Deyin de And similarly, in the Heart Sutra, it says there is no ignorance, nor ending of ignorance, up to and including there is no aging or death, nor any ending of aging or death. But since there is no ignorance in the first place, there can be no ending of ignorance, no cessation of it, because there's nothing to cease. And since there is no aging or death, then there can be no ending of aging or death. So it's like that.
We think
about a dream, and the object that we perceive and the sense faculty perceiving it, the consciousness, then if we think these things are real, then we can say, well, what came first? Well, the object we would probably say was there first, and then came the I, and then finally the consciousness that perceives that object in dependence upon the I. But that's all from an ignorant perspective of looking at it, thinking that things are real. If we think about it from the perspective of genuine reality, then neither of these things, none of these things came first, and none came later.
Dāntā mātrupa jūṃsīn tāṅpo te gōmbā pō me, gōmbā pō yāṅ tāpā mātrupa se na, tēne gōmzā me, gōmzā yāṅ tāpā mātrupa se na, tēne salāmi, salāmi yāṅ tāpā mātrupa jūṃsīn je, dēva mātrupa sōkā, sāpā te dā mātrupa jūṃsīn. Dā yāṅ tāpā tōm na ngu ne salāmi le rāpā yīna dōngi yore, yāṅ tāpā dōngi yore. Dā yāṅ tāpā mātrupa na, tēne salāmi yāṅ tāpā tōm na, tēne karvā yore.
We can look at Milarepa's song, The Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way, for an explanation of why it is that these things don't really exist. It starts at the third line. First, there's no meditator. So since there's no meditator, then there's nothing to meditate on, because there's no one to meditate in the first place. And then, so there's no meditating going on, so there's no progress, there's no paths, there are no paths or levels or any signs of realization. And since there's no path, then there's no fruition. There are no fruition bodies or kayas, there are no wisdoms. And so the root of all of this is the fact that there's no self. If there were a self that existed, then there could be someone going, and there could be some progress to be made, some paths, and something to get at the end. But since there is no self, then none of those other things exist either.
The khamsom ten da yovar che du ni madop che ba me. Khamsom ten yo ten ba no da yovar chu da che ba du ni madop tangbo ni madop se na che ba me ba le so. Wa sa. Kamsum ten yo ta cheba do ni ma do na teni la do de de ben do de ni ta ni san de re ma do yo ma la
sa
chana ng da wan da
la sa goes on to say all animate inanimate the three realms unborn and non-existent from the outset. So since the three realms never existed, then there can't be any path. There can't be any progress like out of this thing because there was nothing there in the first place.
Then le da le janami me songpa te ya le se pa pu da ma do pu jin sin che le da le janami me pa songpa le kwe do na.
And it says there is no karmic act, no maturation, no result of karma. Why? Because there's anything. So there's no one to accumulate karma, so there can be no karma and there can be no result of the karma.
Then rawo tanda ne lok ngoma la sam na ne so ngoma la sam na khorba da ye ma do ba ma ze khorba me yang ma do ba so.
And therefore if we think about things from the perspective of actual reality, the way things really are, then what we realize is that not only is there no samsara, no basis to which we could give the name samsara, but not even the name samsara exists.
Don tamba tetari inayam kunzu to simchi kamsom tenyu tangche be simchi me na sanje mjongwa ti se na tene kunzu jogang da se na tamche yere konde ni ka yere so ba te chepcha kida yere chaba
So that's how things are from the perspective of genuine reality. But if we talk about things in terms of conventional reality, which is completely superficial, then we say, well, if you don't have sentient beings, then you can never have any Buddhas. So Therefore, in terms of the superficial notion of things, of appearances, then everything exists. Samsara exists, nirvana exists, sentient beings exist, Buddhas exist. So this is an incredibly subtle way of understanding things. In another song by Milarepa, he sang, when thoughts, when concepts have reached the point of exhaustion, isn't this Buddhahood gained in a single life? So the only Buddhahood is, the only enlightenment is when all of these fabrications inventing all of this reality dissolve. Other than that, there's really no Buddhahood you can look at in terms of from the ultimate nature of things. From the perspective of the empty of self school, then these fabrications of thoughts are pacified, they come to rest within the Dharmadhatu, the expanse of the freedom from all conceptual fabrications, what transcends conceptuality. And then from that same expanse that transcends conceptual mind arise all of the pure appearances that go along with enlightenment. From the perspective of the Shentong, the empty of other school, then all of the thoughts which are focused outward, which are fabricating things, come to rest within the expanse of clear light. And from this expanse of luminosity, then arise pure appearances. According to the tradition of Mahamudra, it is within bliss emptiness that the thoughts come to rest, and it is from within bliss emptiness that pure appearances shine. But this explanation of how first concepts dissolve and then pure appearances shine is also something that is not real in any way. We're just as Milarepa saying, so even the name samsara does not exist, we could also sing, so even the name nirvana does not exist.
Of the
So how to practice the paramitas in a way that also removes the focus on the three spheres. Ngatsogi parotuchinba tsola nyamsulendu dene korsum mamikpe tap yapo kare pechutana yabare.
Korsum jendepse.
Naso.
Korsum madopa yin san tabe jende.
Naso.
Dene ngoyenje sanje da sanje samba namje nyamli tetar seba jende da kichan tetan do parishor jisa.
Naso. So the way to do it is to seal, literally, seal the practice of the paramita with the recollection that the three spheres are not real. And then to make the aspiration prayer that we be able to practice these paramitas in the same way that the Buddha, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the past have practiced them.
Mulam jin korsom tamche korsom do demba nano yon demba ma do ba jin do.
Naso.
Tene tene de ta ba tren ba.
Naso. It's just like the three spheres that appear in a dream. All of them, whatever way they appear to be real even though they're not. So if we remember that, that these appearances are just like the dream appearances in that way, then that allows us to develop our wisdom to go along with the practice. You mean in the song? Just in general. So what's real? If everything is negated, then what's left to be real? Perna milarepe gurla dene tamche mepa res sungido dene dile hlakpe yopa karres dile hlakpe denba karres karehagido.
Dene dawo je tani de yana yemi lendeba deja.
Naso. So this way of like that type of that way of looking at things where you say, well, what is there that exists if nothing, you know, if everything is refuted, then that's just sort of a way that's still looking at things in terms of these conventional terms, exist and not exist. And in fact, the nature of reality transcends both existence and non-existence.
Nam hi man tong yin hi tong sim ti man tong san jie tong chu jie man tong chu ni tong se nam hi ma ru yin hi tong sim ti ma ru san jie tong chu jie man tong chu ni tong de su ye ba li yan de.
We look at the end of the song where it says, all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Do not see phenomena, they see pure being. So it's okay to say that consciousness doesn't exist, but wisdom does. It's okay to say that sentient beings don't exist, but the Buddhas do. It's okay to say that phenomena don't exist, but pure being does. This way of explaining things talks about seeing, not seeing consciousness, seeing wisdom, and so forth. That's an explanation that's in accordance with the view of the Shentong, the empty of other school. It's a little bit out of line of the consequence school's view, which says that everything is completely free of all conceptual fabrications about what it might be. So it's like that. So we should sing this song again. From the standpoint of the truth that's ultimate, besides no blocks there are not even Buddhas, no meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no signs, and no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate inanimate, the three unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not coexist. There is no karmic act, no maturation, so even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way things are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist, what would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's relative is samsara's wheel, nirvana, past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Both what exists appearing to be things, and the non-existence pure in emptiness, are essentially inseparable one taste. And therefore there is not a self-awareness, nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union, vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see sentient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see pure being. And out of this compassion just emerges retention powers, fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized. Tam che ze pa tom ne nye pe dra nam pam che ke ga na che pa la dru pa Sibetole drova drova drova.
Thank you.